AM 700, KBYR, Anchorage. It's time for Conversations Unlimited with your host, Dave Stroh.
Good morning and welcome. Let me introduce to you my co-host for this next hour, Dr. Todd Terzi of Terzi Chiropractic here in Anchorage and in Arizona. He believes that the body has a tremendous power to heal itself and that it just needs no interference for better health. He joins us in our studios at Knight and Gamble this morning. Good morning. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Good. You know, when most people think of chiropractic, Dr. Terzi, they think of the spine. But is chiropractic good for the brain? That is the topic of our first conversation this morning with you, the chiropractor. Did D.D. Palmer, the founder of chiropractic, did he have the brain in mind when he set about creating the art of chiropractic?
That is a great question. And he was working on a system of healthcare for about 10 years. They have some documents going back to 1885, and the first adjustment was done in 1895. And the first chiropractic adjustment was done to restore hearing to Harvey Lillard, who was deaf for 17 years, who could not hear the wagon wheels upon the cobblestone streets below. And they were on 2nd and Brady Streets back in Davenport, Iowa. And D.D. Palmer rationalized that this guy was in a stoop position, felt something pop in his back, and it was deaf. And he rationalized if he could restore the normal, if he could restore the tone of the nervous system, the man would be restored his hearing. And that's exactly what happened. He found a bone out of position. Now, we don't know which bone it was. Maybe it was the atlas. Maybe it was T4. Maybe it was where the sympathetic chain ganglion is, located around the T4 area in the upper back. And he racked the bone into position. That's what he called it, racked the bone into position. And the man was restored his hearing. And then the second patient was, I believe the second patient was Samuel Weed. He's the one that named chiropractic. Oh. It was Kiros, his hands, and Practicos, done with the purposeful use thereof, done with the purposeful use of hands. So when you ask me if it was to do with the brain, it wasn't to do with low back pain. It wasn't to do with muscle soreness. It wasn't due to, oh, my back went out. It was due to a response of hearing, which is not what we think of when we think of chiropractic. So there was the brain involved. There was the tone of the overall nervous system involved, and the brain-body connection and how everything works together, not just low back pain, not just neck pain, not just headaches, but everything all-encompassing. So, yes, I would say he had that in mind, and that was his specific intent.
How is chiropractic good for the brain?
There's so many studies on chiropractic and brain health. We can Google's great because we can go over there. We can say chiropractic brain, chiropractic and proprioception. We know that even adjusting the spinal segments has a proprioceptive, like where you are in relation to your environment, that goes to the brain. That increases CSF flow, cerebrospinal fluid flow. That increases brain health. That increases cognitive abilities. That decreases stress. That decreases sympathetic tone. We talk about the autonomic nervous system, the sympathetic and parasympathetic supply. We talk about heart rate variability. We talk about all these things, and we relate them to chiropractic, and we think, wow, all these things are done on research with chiropractic, but the world is still out there thinking the chiropractic has nothing to do with that.
So to what degree is the brain affected? I mean, it sounds like it's massive.
I think that the number one thing that we do as chiropractors, when we adjust the spine, is increasing brain health and cognitive ability. Mm-hmm. I think that is number one. Well, we have brain fog. Well, what's brain fog? You know, I just don't feel right. I have that overall little hazy feeling of my day. That brain fog is restored and gone away after an adjustment. Why is that? Because that's creating brain health. That's increasing cognition because of an adjustment. And we think that, well, how can that be? It's the nervous system is so profound that we can't even imagine it. Well, an adjustment, just the adjustment. And they've done studies where let's just touch them. Let's give them a little massage. Let's do this. No, it's not. It's the high velocity, low force, low amplitude adjustment thrust into the spine that creates that incredible response of the nervous system to allow brain functioning even better than before.
What hormones are released after a chiropractic adjustment?
What'd
you say?
I don't know.
Okay, what's your question?
I think that it's the way the nervous system works is it's going to be in that feedback loop. So whatever needs to be, whatever was not flowing before, is now flowing here. And so if I had to list a couple and say, I don't know, is your you know, cortisone re-releases, or is it decreased? Well, that's for the body to determine.
And I can
help you out there. We can talk about a couple of hormones. I'm sure you've got them right in front of you because you do the research and you figure out which ones are. Which ones are they, Dave?
I don't know yet.
Which ones are they? You know it all. But that's the regulation of the body, and that's the innate intelligence. So if we're creating that normalcy of the nervous system, well, then the proper hormones are going to be released in different areas. And I would say that, you know, we know that the interleukins are established, and there's an increase in, I think there's an increase in IgG response. There's that when you adjust, they know that there's the proprioceptive fibers of the disc. There's actually of the outer ring of the disc. Those fibers are stimulated to increase proprioception. So there's so many things that go along with the adjustment that we think, well, it's just an adjustment. Was that it? I love that. I love that when people say after the adjustment, is that it? Oh, you want more? You want further meaning? We do what we're told to do by
right.
the body, and we try to figure that out, and then we let the body respond as it should. So when you introduce me, you say, life needs no help, just no interference. Well, that's what we're trying to do. Remove the interference so the body can respond and do what it's supposed to do.
When you look at the results of chiropractic on the body, is the brain still the tip of the iceberg as to the health benefits that can be achieved?
I think so. I think if we know that everybody leaves with a smile, we know that everybody leaves with a better attitude, we know that experience of the adjustment is going to allow them to be nicer to the next person, that's brain health. And that's your brain. Well, even like last night, I had a long day, and it was a great day of chiropractic. And then before Dr. Foley left, I just want to make sure my atlas was adjusted. I want my brain health to be good. I have work to do at night. I have things to I have to pick up some dog, you know, material after.
We all have to
do
that.
Oh, my goodness gracious. But I want my body functioning as best as it can possibly function. And I think that if we're not talking brain health, you know, we used to go to these health fairs and everything. What do you see at the chiropractor's table? Do you know what they usually have sitting there on their desk?
I don't remember.
The plastic spine.
Oh, yeah.
The plastic spine. Here, it's all about the bones and the misalignment. It is, but why don't we have a brain sitting there? Why don't we have a bunch of wires and showing the nervous system and showing that, because it's so much more than just bone out of place and spinal health, but it is. That's how we get to the nervous system, is through the spine. So we have to make sure those bones are aligned properly and make sure they're moving properly and make sure everything is flowing so we have that brain health, because the brain is the most important structure we have.
Dr. Kersey, bear with me here. The limbic system is the area of the brain that maintains balance throughout our body. It's composed of structures in the brain that deal with emotions, anger, happiness, fear, and even memories. Is the limbic system working in conjunction with the nervous system?
It is, and that's part of the nervous system, because the central nervous system, the brain, spinal cord, and then going out to the periphery, that's what it's all about. And then you could talk about the limbic system, and is it actually an organ, or is it surrounding, and limbus is the border of the structures of the brain, the amygdala, the hippocampus, the thalamus, the hypothalamus, so they're all that area right there in the center of the brain. And we know that when we adjust, that directly affects that system. Dr. Heidi Havoc, I got to give you that book, because you'll love the book, and it's a simple read, and she does cartoons.
It's got pictures.
And she does this great work with that, and she actually talks about the limbic system, and she talks about fear, and when you have emotional stresses as a child, and how that works when you have those stressors in your system, and how that doesn't let it go to the amygdala and hippocampus. It goes right to the prefrontal cortex, and we know that the prefrontal cortex is directly stimulated by spinal adjustments through the proprioceptive fibers coming back through. So yeah, and it's the way it goes, and it's inhibited, and it's all down to the limbic system. And we think an adjustment does that? Yeah, an adjustment directly affects the limbic system and then the prefrontal cortex, and it's all working together. So, yeah, there's been a lot of research done that. In the in North Dakota, I believe it was 31 or 41 one of those dates, and it was in North Dakota. I always thought it was in Iowa, but I happened to read something recently that showed it was a study there. And it was, I think we talked about this a long time ago, is where these people were subject to an asylum because they couldn't get better. And I don't know, I believe it was schizophrenia. I didn't read schizophrenia last time I read this article, but I know they had brain dysfunction, and they were jailed, and then they were put in the asylum. And the judge said, it was a judge in North Dakota. I think if you guys want to Google it, it would be like chiropractic in North Dakota, 1931, 1941, whatever it was. You can Google both. But they showed that these people were not able to reach a cure. Back then, the cure. Everything was a cure.
Right.
You can get bottle cure, you know, if you were a peddler or that stuff. And they put them under chiropractic care. And guess what? They were cured of this disease in their brain and decreased function. So the chiropractic adjustments actually cured the psychosis. What? And why isn't that still going on, Dave? Why were we put into a low back category? I'll never know.
If the limbic system is to be functioning with total effectiveness, does the nervous system, with its capability to send and receive nerve messages, also have to be unimpeded?
I think that would be our crux of the matter.
Okay.
Would say if we have inhibition of the nervous system to or fro, and it can't get to that limbic system, and it can't establish that proper information, then yeah, and decrease vascularity to that system too, because we know that it increases the vascularity and decreases sympathetic tone. So that limbic system you're talking about with moodiness, that was where they used to do prefrontal lobotomies,
yeah,
right? Because it would decrease your motivation. You would be, and it wasn't really prefrontal. Actually, it went to the limbic system. They cut some things there, right? And maybe the reticular formation, and they did that, and they would decrease your tone, right? You'd be like, because you had that frontal lobotomy.
Do they still perform lobotomy?
I need one. But no, you don't do that anymore, right? Because there's more drugs out there to stimulate things and increase your dopamine receptors and those things, because that's what we want to have, a better mood. But it does affect mood and does affect emotion and motivation, right? Well, why are these people not motivated? Maybe if we're given an adjustment, they'll be more motivated to do something good, because we'll have that limbic system working properly.
To maintain the integrity of the nerve messages which travel to and through the limbic system, what must be happening along the spinal cord?
Proprioception is big, and we think about what does that mean? What does that mean? How are we relating to our environment? The motion of the joints of the spine actually have a direct effect on the limbic system, and that flow back and forth, and the aberrant motion, the improper motion of the joints inhibits the limbic system. So if we have the proper motion of the joints, that actually helps the limbic system. Isn't that crazy?
It is. Some in your profession recognize the spinal cord as both a cable and a switchboard. As a cable, it is connecting the brain with the rest of the nerves in the body. But how about as a switchboard? What does the spinal cord coordinate within our body?
Wow, Dave.
Think about that.
I'll
take a break first.
So, what does it coordinate? So, the nervous system, the innate intelligence coordinates and adapts us to our environment every single day. So, if we have that nerve and blood flow, nerve from the brain and the spinal cord to and through, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about proper nerve supply throughout the entire organism. If we have that thing called subluxation, the misalignment of bones putting pressure on nerves at any vertebral level, especially number one, the atlas, that is going to be the decrease of the flow of nerve flow from the foramen magnum, right? That skull at the base of the skull where the brainstem comes out. That would be the number one. We have to talk about sympathetic dominance. We have to talk about our state of fear and fight, that's the fight and flight. We're always in that high sympathetic state, so we know that it decreases the sympathetic state and increases the parasympathetic. So that is a big, huge thing. So it coordinates all the systems. And I'm going to say that if we look at any spinal segment, that can have an effect on the brain.
is the spinal cord a direct extension of the brain?
Yeah, so that comes out from the brainstem, spinal cord, and then we go out to the periphery from there. And then that's where the nerves exit the spinal column, and the spinal column is protecting that nervous system underneath. So that's our precious system, is that nervous system. That's what we want to protect, and that's what we have to make sure all the bones are moving nicely and everything's working together and everybody's freely flowing and there's that cerebral spinal fluid coming. And we actually have a little pump, a little sacrum, that five fused bones at your tailbone, above your tailbone.
Yes,
but that just actually has a little bit of movement. There's a little sacral pump there that makes that CSF go up and down. So everything's working together. Everything's coming together as one big unit. And we think that, well, can a little misalignment really affect us that much? Yes. Yes, David.
Let's talk about the spinal column.
I don't know if I can talk about the spinal column after all that.
What are the basic purposes of the spinal column, if you had to explain it in an elementary term?
I would say protection is number one.
Okay.
Proper protection of the nervous system. We talk about spinal canal stenosis, degenerative disease, degenerative osteoarthritis. We talk about all those things that are happening around that spinal column, to the spinal column, and that is big because if we have that, spinal canal stenosis, osteoarthritis, degenerative disc disease, all the same stuff, right? If we have that, then we're decreasing our nervous system potential. And we want to make sure that the potential of the nervous system is there. So how do we prevent that? Guess what? Chiropractic care. And it works, right? And I was just telling you before the show, I was in Arizona and I had Cooper take an x-ray of my neck just because we have, you know that scanner we have, that little thing that goes up and down your spine, the MyoVision? Well, the guy that invented the MyoVision, I know it's a little off subject, but he developed a new thermal scanner where you just stand behind the patient and click a button and it does this incredible thermal scan. It shows heat. And they called me yesterday and said, hey, can we use your hands? Because there was a picture of a hand up there. I said, well, I got that trigger finger. I know it's coming from my neck. You see that? He did a little thermal scan of both my hands sitting on my lap. And my hands were nice and red all the way up until my fingers, and they were completely blue. And he said, you're not getting any flow. I said, I know I'm not getting any flow. And it's come from my accident when I was in 1988, and I've had trouble since then, and I've been getting adjusted. So I said, I wonder if I've had, because of the car accident a couple of years ago, and I've been getting adjusted every day, well, not every day, but at least weekly, since then. And I was saying, I wonder how much degeneration I have, because I'm concerned about my nervous system not getting the proper nerve and blood supply to my extremities. And I took a picture of my neck, and thanks, Dr. Foley, because my discs are super fat and super healthy. I do have that spur coming off from the accident, but everything is working, and my facet joints are working well. So I know my cervical spine, anatomically looking at it, is good, which is nice to see. So I like that, and that's because I've been keeping up with chiropractic care, not allowing that degenerative change to take place. So it's important for the spinal column to be lacking of osteoarthritis, and we can prevent that through chiropractic care.
Let me drop a little knowledge on you. The spinal column consists of 24 movable vertebrae. Because the vertebrae are movable, are they also susceptible to certain stresses and forces which can cause them to lose their proper alignment? And have we reached the point where these misalignments can lead to damaging stress in the nervous system?
Thoughts, traumas, toxins.
I've heard of it.
Traumas. We have trauma. The first thing you have to do is get adjusted and make sure that your nervous system is protected and getting those bones moving. We talk about aberrant motion. What's aberrant motion? Lack of proper motion of the spine. If we have lack of proper motion, we have lack of flow to the brain, the limbic system, the emotional center, the memory center, the mood center. So yeah, I think that we're dealing with all those things. If we're not keeping that spine healthy, if we're not keeping the motion of those 24 vertebrae in proper motion, we are damaging our ability or decreasing our ability to think properly, to have motivation, to have a proper life, to work at our optimum potential. Chiropractors, oh, we're gonna reach your optimum potential. What does that mean? We're trying to get you to work properly, not only properly, but the best you could possibly work with what you have. And we have these little things called limitations of matter. You come to me at 75 years old after having no chiropractic care, and you have all this degenerative changes. Oh, now I have pain. Well, that straw that broke the camel's back finally got you. You got in there, and now you have a little bit of pain. Now you have your body telling you what's going on. Well, let's get you back to as healthy as you can possibly be with the changes that you have in your spine. I don't know if I answered your question at all, but yes.
You were close.
Right.
Dr. Kersey, what begins to happen to us when we are or become subluxated?
Oh, just that little misalignment. Just that little misalignment can decrease the blood flow. They did a study, and I always thought it was in Chicago, but it was different. For some reason, I read another study that was talking about way back in the day where they put a little bit of 10 millimeters pressure on a nerve, and it decreased the function of that nerve 60%. A little tiny pressure on a nerve is a big thing. So if we're decreasing that nervous system flow with just a little misalignment, that can lead to further changes. And that improper mobility of that joint, what the body does is say, well, let me protect you. Let me spasm up. Let me use that muscles that are protecting that spine, and let me tighten up around that area. And then if it's never corrected, that leads to degenerative changes, which even has further impact upon the nervous system and the overall body and the overall function. So we need to make sure that little misalignment when you first get subluxated is corrected.
Sure.
That's why I go to Arizona every 2 weeks to make sure my babies are not going 2 weeks without an adjustment. My little baby, 16 and 19 years old, my little baby. They're not babies anymore, my mother says. You can't stop calling them but your little babies. Oh, well, they're my little babies. They're full-grown men, and they make sure they get adjusted every 2 weeks.
Can there ever be too much nerve activity caused by a subluxation?
Oh, too much.
Yeah.
Too many people, too much. No, yes. We have, you know that pain you feel between your shoulder blades, people?
You know, you get
that pain right between my shoulder blades, right medial to my scapula. Nobody ever comes in and says I have pain medial to my scapula. But the upper back pain, that's an over, and this is crazy opinion because of years
your
of
show.
This is what I'm saying. Overexcitement of that nervous system at the lower cervical vertebra, usually C5, C6, puts pressure on that nerve that goes down along the border of the scapula of your shoulder blade and creates that little trigger point, that little pain spot. So when you push on there, you're like, oh, God, what is that? I just pushed on that, rub on that. Well, you can rub on that all day long. It'll still be there until you correct the subluxation in the lower cervical spine, which is putting pressure on that, which is giving an excitement. So too much nerve flow is also possible. So it's not just decreased flow, it's increased or decreased. So when we say we want to normalize the nervous system, we don't want to increase nerve flow. We want to get the proper nerve flow back and normalize, not because it may have excitation. I'm so excited. Due to a chemical response at the vertebral level because there's irritation, and that creates a chemical response and pressure on the nerve. So there are all those excitements of the nerve that are too much.
We began this talking about the brain. If left untreated, will subluxations cause stress in the brain?
Let me think about that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say stress of the brain. I don't know if the brain is stressed or if it's just not giving the flow, because we know that innate intelligence is always working 100%. So if we think, is it stressing the brain, or is it stress that caused the decreased function of the brain? So we'll say there's a stress on the brain. We'll say the brain is being taxed because it can't properly function. I'll go with that.
Okay.
I'll think about things on that one, but I think I could say I'd agree with you on that.
What is the difference between physical stress and chemical stress?
And emotional stress and traumatic stress. I think they all have a pretty good impact. We know that chemical stress, that could be the excitement of the nerve due to chemicals. There are stressors at that level. The chemicals, we're going to talk chemicals. You brought up hormones earlier. What hormones? Dr. Brockington, you said that. The most potent hormone to increase TSH. Was a professor in college. He talked like that. He was great.
Jerry Reed and Smoking the Bandit.
That's the way he talked. There is that chemical response because the body's full of different, if you want to call them chemicals and hormones and different. I guess we call them chemicals throughout the body, and that would decrease the normalcy, right? So we want to make sure everything is working in flow.
When the chemical stress from the buildup of inflammation accumulates in our spinal structures, nerves, and let's add brain, is that subluxation releasing bad, noxious information into the brain?
I guess it could be, Dave. I guess it could be. Is it releasing it into the brain? Boy, you got some good questions. Where did you come up with these things today?
I just thought of them.
I just thought of them. I'd say that there's probably that that possibility of, and we see inflammation and we see those chemicals being released when we're working with somebody and I say, oh, you're a little spongy today or you're a little inflamed today. You can see that irritation.
I don't take it personally.
Yeah, thanks. You can see that irritation at the, because you've been spongy. You can see that irritation at the spinal level. Am I going to see that in the brain? I'm going to say that I see more of the effects of that with the moods and we'd like to make the couch potatoes get up and do some stuff and give them some motivation by removing that nerve interference which is going through there. So the chemical response, there's probably some irritation there with the brain, but I'm not sure if that is. I don't know. I don't have that much research on that in my brain right now. I got to go to another file in my brain to pull that one out. But a great question, and we know that there's that to and fro relationship. So are the chemicals due to irritation of the nerve supply going to the brain? Yeah, probably.
When you get noxious chemicals, heading into the brain, will the brain try to protect itself?
I think it's always trying to protect itself. I think it's always trying to maintain its existence by trying to adapt to what's going on, and then that's the response of the body. And when we talk about brain and spinal cord, it's working every single day to keep things moving and flowing and keep us alive. So, yeah.
Dr. Kersey, what do you believe can happen to us when we're in a stress response for the long term?
Well, look at me. Look at me. You're stressing me out.
This will
last all day.
I'm going to check your blood pressure here in a moment.
Well, you love, what's your favorite word?
Inflammation.
When we first started, David always said, oh, let's talk about inflammation. I'm like, damn, David, the inflammation. And we talk about inflammation and long-standing inflammation. Well, isn't that stress? Isn't that part of that? That inflammation is part of that initial stress. So we have that long-standing inflammation, and then we have decreased function, and then we have disease processes after dis-ease, lack of ease, and then flying into disease, and then we're going into death. So if we have long-standing stress, thoughts, traumas, and toxins, we have those bad emotional thoughts. How easy is it to have a negative thought? Boom, right away.
Yeah.
Positive thought, we got to work on that. And you can't just say, oh, I have positive thoughts today. It's work, right? It's work.
Absolutely.
So trauma, we have those traumas, that stress on us. How about trauma of adjusting patients with a improperly working shoulder or hands, right? So stress. So that long-standing stress will get you into the box a little earlier.
Will chiropractic adjustment stop the negative stress hormones from flooding into the body? And will there then be a simultaneous release of the happy hormones that we talked about, serotonin and dopamine?
Let's go with a positive yes on that, Dave. I mean, I think that's what you're getting to, and whatever research you done did on that stuff, real good, because that's exactly what we're getting to, right? We're going to increase the happiness and decrease the sadness and increase the energy and decrease the low emotional mood and lack of motivation. And then we see that on a daily basis, especially the kids. We had a kid there yesterday who wouldn't get adjusted, and the parents said, just try it. Stop saying that. Stop saying just try it. Put the kid down. I said to the kid, when you go to the dentist, do you know you have a cavity when you go to the dentist? No, I go to check the cavity. I said, the same thing here. We're checking to see if you have a subluxation. And the parents are good parents. They just it's just less force on the and he listens to the radio show on the slope, so I hope he hears this. But you don't say try, you say lay down. Lay down and let the doctor check you, because that's what we need to do. We need to check the kids. And then I had to show him. I said, look at this little baby I adjusted in Arizona, a new little baby adjusted in Arizona. And she was just happy as a clam. We just got adjusted and checked the little atlas. And we did a little temperature gauge left and right and wanted to see. And they brought her in the next time because the father was there twice. And she was great. She was, the second time, didn't need to be adjusted. She was great. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. And yes, the happy hormones are released and the dopamine and the serotonin and the flow. Yeah, that's what the body does, and that's what it should be doing on a regular basis. But it's not given a chance if we're subluxated and we're living a life of less potential.
Would you say that every single chiropractic adjustment recalibrates the brain to do what it should be doing?
I think that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to establish the proper tone of the nervous system, brain, spinal cord, all those things from an adjustment. And you think, well, I came in here for a little back pain. Well, what about sleep? What about, we know that chiropractic helps you with your sleep. Why wouldn't you just go to the chiropractor for sleep purposes? And there's, and we know how important sleep is.
You have seen thousands of patients over the years as a chiropractor. Do you ever see personality changes through better brain function?
Oh, we see some changes. You know, we often meet people with low back pain because they come into the office. They don't want to be
there. That's what you're known for.
Yeah, that's what we're known for. And you'll see, I remember this one guy many, many, many years ago, and he was the biggest jerk that ever walked into our office. He was in the SWAT team that we had. I think it was called CERT or something like that way back in the day. And he was just mean, and he didn't want to be there. He was rash. He was just rah 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 rah. After a couple of days, removed his lumbar spine discomfort and his overall sciatic. He was the nicest guy ever, and he just, his personality was so off because he had such problems, so many problems with his lumbar spine,
yes,
his low back. And yeah, we see that. We see people coming in a bad mood, and we know you're in a bad mood. I'll say, oh, who's making you mad today? No one. I said, so you're lying to me. You're just not telling me. That's correct. And because I saw a lady yesterday, she's been our happiest little patient. She's not done her first series of adjustments yet. She's only had a few visits, but she is a super happy person. And yesterday, she wasn't super happy, and I knew. And she said, yep. And then by the end of the visit, she was great. And she was back to being happy. And because I said, are you happy with your care? Yeah, I guess. Yeah, we'll see. You know, and so far, so good. I said, so far, so good. You were super excited. You came in like a 10 out of 10. You have zero pain. It's only been a few adjustments. But yesterday was that mood change. And we see that because she dealt with some stresses at work. And she came in and she was, but by the time she left, everything was hunky-dory.
Have you found over the years that people who are under regular chiropractic care tend to have a happier state of mind?
Oh, yeah. That's nice to see. Well, look at you. Look at you. You're a happy guy.
I am.
But, yeah, the people that maintain their adjustments, and they come in, and I had one patient yesterday, and he's been a patient. I used to have coffee with him back in the day when I would get the office early. We'd go next door and have a cup of coffee. He was just a great guy, and he's been under chiropractic care, and he's super happy and chill and just nice, and he maintains, and he's got some severe spinal deformities, and he is just happy, just a little off today, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, we see that. We see those nice flowing nervous systems, and it's good to see.
You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. John Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage on AM 700 KBYR. Our next conversation with the good doctor continues after these messages. You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage and sunny Scottsdale, Arizona on AM 700 KBYR. I'm Dave Storr. Dr. Kersey, it's been said that the weaknesses of the past come together to produce the symptoms of today. Would that be true for our nervous system as well?
You mean everything adding up to where we are now and the past coming through?
That's what I
mean. Yeah. You talk about that limbic system and all those little past traumas. They really do have an effect on the brain, and you could actually have a possible stressor through the same effect of the brain and send you into that same fight or flight, even though it's not a real stressor if you perceive it like that. But all the little things that add up, we'll ask people about their past, and they won't put on car accidents, they won't put on different slips and falls, and then we'll look at their spine, take an X-ray of their spine, and say, oh, you didn't tell me about your car accident 20 years ago. Well, how do you know? I say, I see the damage of about 20 years. Oh yeah, I did have an accident back then. Or yeah, I did slip and fall, or I did hit my head sledding, or I did play football, or I did do this, and all those things add up to where we are now. So all the weaknesses of the past add up to the symptoms of today. And you know, you don't even have to have a lot of symptoms to have the problems. And then we talked about earlier the straw that broke the camel's back. You never know what's going to hit you.
Yeah.
You never know what little tiny thing you're going to do when you take your clothes out of the dryer and then you can't stand back up because the dishwasher. We had a dishwasher incident yesterday. But that's what we see. And it's all the little things that add up over time that you don't pay attention to, you don't take care of. You know, we want to exercise, we want to eat right, we want to sleep right. Let's start doing all those things so we don't have problems later on. But getting an adjustment, making sure your nervous system is functioning, should be number one. Why isn't everyone seeing a chiropractor? I have no idea. I have no idea why you wouldn't take care of your nervous system. It's just unfathomable.
Do we as humans have the ability to bring disease upon our own nervous system by our habits and by our choices?
Oh, I read a book this weekend.
Did it have pictures?
No pictures.
Okay.
It was an audiobook. I had a ride. I had to go to meetings for the International Chiropractors Association in in Las Vegas. I drove out from Arizona and drove back, and it was The Importance of Habit, and it was, I thought it was going to be a few hour book. I'm still not done yet. It was like, I'm in it like 8 hours.
Wow.
And I have it on 1.5, and it's still going. But yeah, all the habits that add up, and that's, what was the question? Yeah, so that they all have an effect on the nervous system and our overall health. So we need to work on our habits. We need to know that certain habits will correct certain behaviors, and the behaviors, and we talked, and that was about the habits of buying things and how
right.
people advertise and all those things because of the brain and the way it functions. So our habits do have an effect on our brain.
It is a dopamine hit every time we make a purchase, isn't it?
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
And it goes back to the nervous system.
Is it possible to reset our nervous system with the use of regular chiropractic use?
Neuroplasticity, the change of the brain? Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And more and more research shows that there is more change happening. That's plasticity, the change, the ability to change. We can change, and we just have to do it. Now, why aren't we doing it?
How many processes would you say there are involving chiropractic that would restore a person to reasonably good health and wellness?
How many processes? How many adjustments? How many different things? To get somebody back to good health is all depending on where they are on their biological continuum from birth to death. Where are we meeting you, and what processes do we need to get there, and how much trauma have you had in your life? How many bad experiences have you had in your life? How much bad thoughts are in your head? What is your financial situation, all those stresses that come on. So when we find a person in a situation, we have to actually look and say, okay, here's what you need for your pain. Here's what we're going to take. Here's the process of the and it is a chiropractic is a process, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything is a process.
Yes.
And principle number 6 of the 33 chiropractic principles, there's no process that does not require time. So it is a process with time. And if you come in with a problem, all right, we're going to say, okay, it's going to be this long until this happens due to our experience with this. This is what it's going to take. So we might go through a couple series of adjustments here. Then we're going to work on your sleep, and we're going to work on there's all kinds of processes. And the more things we do right at the same time, the better we're going to get back to good health. We just had a patient yesterday. She did Ideal Protein, I don't know, 13 years ago, and then she lost like 70 pounds in the first couple of weeks. It was good. So she's down. She gained weight, and then she's back on it, and she's not on Ideal Protein, but she's eating right, because that's what it's all about, eating right. And she's lost over 70 pounds again, and we're getting her back to health because she had some other health problems, and she ignored some other things, so
sure.
She's getting back. So we got diet, then we got sleep, and now we're talking exercise, and she's getting adjusted. And we're going through all these things, all these processes together, coordinating all the processes to get her back to health because she was not healthy.
How do you rank the degree of subluxation?
Oh, I don't.
You don't.
I don't. So if you, a subluxation is the misalignment of the bones, right? The vertebral surface. It's actually a loss of juxtaposition of the vertebra above, below, or both, such to the extent that normal nerve transmission is interfered with. So we know that we are decreasing our potential by having a subluxation. If you have degenerative changes with that subluxation, well, that's a higher degree of subluxation, I guess, complex, right? So we have that little thing called phase 1, phase 2, phase
mm-hmm.
3. We have normal, and we have, you know, all the phases of degenerative changes. So if we had to say, how do we rate those? Well, we rate those through degenerative changes and the amount of structural damage. But a little subluxation can have a lot of pressure on the nerve, and we don't need to have degenerative changes to have a severe subluxation. So I just know that if you have a problem, then we're gonna find it, fix it, leave it alone, and let the body restore health. So I would say if we're talking to a patient and say you have severe degenerative changes, you need to have continued care versus someone who is very young and say, okay, we're gonna get this corrected quickly, and you can maintain chiropractic care, and that would be the best thing for you. And we know that maintenance care or wellness care actually has a super great health benefit overall.
After years of intensive schooling and decades of practice, do you bring new sensibilities to chiropractic and your patients?
And being beat up on the radio show with 10 questions. You know, I think that we always are learning. We're always trying to come up with, you know, more research, and it's all going back to the older stuff. But we try to bring that to our patients. And you know, it was pretty interesting. We were in that meeting. Somebody brought up a proposed regulation change for the ICA and all this other stuff, and they one person put up this definition of subluxation and wanted to change this wording. There's one lady, one female chiropractor, whose grandfather was a huge technique guy, which we use his technique. I mean, this doctor is huge, right? So she said she didn't agree with that, and she turns to me and she says, "But I want to know what you think." And I thought, me? We're talking the International Chiropractors Association throughout the globe, and she wanted to know my thought. I said, "Well, here's what I think. I agree. We don't need to change this. This is the way it is. This is the way it should be. And it doesn't need any discussion. I don't think we should put this forward." And they're like, "Okay, good. Let's squash it." I'm like, "Wow. Let's go." That was interesting. And, she put that to me. So I think that we are out there. We are trying to make sure that we are staying our separate and distinct healthcare, and we are learning and we are growing. But we are all going back to the research, which shows the initial stages of chiropractic care 128 years ago, which is still holding true today.
Right.
So the more we learn, the more we do. Let's keep it chiropractic. Let's keep chiropractic what it should be.
You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage. On AM 700 KBYR, our next conversation with Dr. Kersey continues after this. You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage on AM 700 KBYR. I'm Dave Stir. I beat you up pretty bad today. Let's have some fun, sir.
That was some good conversation.
It really was. Let's have some fun. How do you talk, Jersey?
You know what I mean?
That was naturally, doesn't it?
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
How many times has someone asked you in your lifetime, "Do you know anyone in the mob?"
Yes, I have. And, you know, the big thing is, you know, I came to Alaska for just a few years, and I tried to get out of here after 3 weeks, after 3 months, after 3 years, and then I met the lovely mother of my children, and I stayed, and then, you know, never really wanted to be. And people always say, "How'd you get here?" And I say, "Witness Protection Program." And they look and they think and then they laugh. And because, of course, you wouldn't say that. But it's funny how many people are like, "Wait, you know any mob?"
You must.
Yeah.
From Jersey.
Yeah. Of course we did. You know, we grew up with that. I grew up in an Italian neighborhood that I didn't realize was an Italian neighborhood. But yeah, there's tons of mob back there. Well, that doesn't exist anymore. Yes, it does.
Isn't Jersey basically a suburb of New York City? And can that question get you stuffed in the back of a trunk eventually?
Yes, it would. So there's two parts of New Jersey. There's South Jersey and North Jersey.
I didn't know that.
Completely different states. But we're down by, where I grew up, and down by Philadelphia. So it's like right outside of Philly. So we're big Philly fans, you know, mm-hmm. Eagles and Sixers.
Yeah.
And Phillies and Flyers. But that North Jersey is completely different. So I was actually thinking of Jersey yesterday because I was driving from my office. And downtown's getting a little rough, but I didn't completely stop at the stop sign. And I was thinking, well, if I got pulled over here, I'm like, I would tell the officer, I said, "It's getting like Newark in here, man. I wouldn't stop at a stop sign in Newark. Why would I stop?"
Are there turf wars between North Jersey and South Jersey?
No. I mean, not really turf wars. We all really. I mean, it's not like that. We all make fun of each other, but it's not like there's a problem. We're all from Jersey.
Hey, what's up with Hoboken anyway?
Hoboken. Who was born in Hoboken?
Well, Frank Sinatra. What does Frank Sinatra mean to a man born in New Jersey?
It's funny because I love Frank Sinatra. I love listening to Frank. My kids know Frank Sinatra. It's all good. I got all his old albums from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you just grow up. That's just what you listen to. I mean, it was just a part of it. You go to a restaurant, you hear Frank Sinatra. It's just all, you know, just it's good culture.
Is he considered a god in that
area? I don't know. I don't think people really get really to it. I mean, it's just part of it. You know, it's not like here. I'd be like, "Oh, Frank Sinatra. Oh, you missed the Frank Sinatra. That's cool." Well, that's what everybody does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the number to Kersey Chiropractic?
907-569-9355.
Dr. Kersey, I want to thank you for sharing this hour with us. If you would like to live a life of better health, again, you can call Kersey Chiropractic, and I'll do this one, 569-9355. Be sure to add 907. Dr. Kersey is going to join us again next Tuesday at 8 a.m. for another Conversations Unlimited. You have a good week, my friend.
Thank you so much.
I'm Dave Stroh. Have a good week.